Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Tears is a London-based hip-hop artist. Rising up through the ranks with his phenomenal talent and mastery of words, Tears has worked with many influential names in the industry. Due to his unique flow and perspective on life's mysteries, Tears has supported Mobb Deep, Dappy, English Frank, Demeric, Exhibit, and many more. His music has been played on radio stations such as BBC Introducing, Capital Extra, and he has had a single that was awarded number 3 spot on an American TV countdown show charged up top 10. Tears has collaborated with Io Beats, Harley, and is in the process of collaborating with Jethro, a Lone Star Sheeran, amongst many others. Tears' journey as an independent artist has seen him perform all over the UK, as well as in places like Spain, Portugal, Scotland, and Ireland. His book, Tears Behind the Smile, a vehicle for his personal life experience and an insight into his mind, has garnered attention of notable publishers from London and New York. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Tears. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Hey, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for obviously inviting me onto the show. So I am from Surrey in London, UK.
Why the name Tears and the spelling as it is?
Yeah, so the word tears, it means elevation. So T-I-E-R, obviously is tears.
Oh, okay.
And the Z, yeah, so that's where it comes from. And the Z, it just worked. I mean, at the time of obviously, when I first started my early career, I called myself Young D, because everyone's young this, young that.
Yes.
And obviously I was, you know, sort of unbeknown to sort of, the fact of, you know, a name in the industry, especially the music industry, you want to kind of try to stand out. So all of my music, I'm forever trying to push the boundaries on it, which hopefully my career so far has proved, you know, by working with unsigned artists through to some of the biggest artists in the world. And so, yeah, it means elevation, and all my music is real. So I guess, you know, I said once in an interview, it's like crying tears, you know, it's emotional sometimes. And then the guy that was interviewing me said, I saw you cry a lot. No, that's not the score. But it's very much about elevation and always trying to better myself and my career, to be honest. Yeah.
So it's interesting because I heard Tears. It's amazing how people have different definitions and perceptions. I've studied it. It's called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And basically, so he had that perception and definition of tears. When I heard tears, it was like, okay, crying, which means cleansing, which means you're releasing and dealing with stuff, and therefore you're moving forward. And that brings in elevation as well. So I was more on track on your perception than that dude was thinking of just you crying all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to think of it. I mean, yeah, it is obviously, like you just said, obviously to release. And that's one of the main things that comes from my music, is obviously to release good and bad memories that I've experienced over the years. And it's kind of worked, I guess, from what people have been saying. So, yeah.
Okay, now let's rewind. At what age did you just think or decide or feel, cool, I want to be in this business, the creation music world? And how did that journey progress?
So I guess it realistically started from a very young age. I've always enjoyed music. You know, I've always been quite reserved, I suppose, at a young age. And it wasn't until my nan told me through secondary school to write down your feelings, to express how you feel and then get rid of them. You know, it's an old sort of thing, isn't it, that many people have done and has worked for them. But when I was writing down my feelings, it kind of just worked lyrically, you know, because I was listening to a lot of music, obviously, back then. And some of my biggest influences, I kind of just started like, okay, cool. The writing's helped me very much, but to express it in an artistic kind of way was even better, because not only am I getting rid of the emotions, I'm also turning it into a good thing, you know, because I'm like, okay, well, this rhymes. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was that general sort of, oh, you want to be a rapper, you know, oh my God, you're an idiot and all this sort of stuff. But then I started to create a little bit of, you know, friction with it. And it started snowballing into a positive way. So I guess realistically, from a very young age, I've always enjoyed music, but it wasn't till maybe 15, I guess, 14, 15, that I started to make the music that I sort of create these days. And then it sort of went from there in a very positive motion. I got signed to an independent record label, and then I got invited to a lot of shows in London, which was, you know, I deemed at the very beginning would be unheard of, because obviously where I come from and what I had a perception of the rap game being, you know, there's a very big perception of it being gangster, 50 Cent, you know, and I learned the easy way that it's very much not like that to an extent. You know, there are obviously people out there that are about that life, and they make that sort of music. But thankfully, the people that I met and connected with, and the platforms that I was able to get onto, it snowballed into basically now. So yeah, I'd say probably from about 16, and then when I got signed, it sort of went on from there into the bigger leagues, you know, like the festivals and other places that I've been, television and all the other cool stuff that's happened, you know.
Are you still signed to the label?
No, I'm not. So that label, them and I, we parted ways. And then, yeah, so I stayed independent, working my way through the motions, meeting different people, working with different artists. I then signed to another record label in Wembley, and they were right next to AR, Chipmunk's early label, virtually to, you know, big names. And then fast forward to that, I stayed independent and I got an opportunity to work with AO Beats, and we recorded at Labyrinth Studio. That track, well, sorry, a couple of the tracks then created some very, very, very powerful moves for myself, you know, as an artist. And you've got the likes of Ret 32, Tiny Temper, that heard the music and rated it. Obviously, AO Beats, he rates it, he was producing on it. And that got me onto television in America, onto mainstream radio play, Capital Extra, for example. And yeah, it's kind of gone like that, you know. There's been a lot of downs, don't get me wrong, you know, there's been a lot more ups. But yeah, so that's basically where it's come from at the moment, my sort of humble beginnings up to this point, you know. And all of the opportunities that I've had, I'm still very much in connection with these people that have given them to me or offered me, you know, certain situations. So that's a great thing. Hopefully it'll, you know, develop into a much stronger foundation with those guys in the future, which, you know, by the looks and sounds of things at the moment, it really is going to.
Okay, so let's pause that. Throw out hopefully. It's not hopefully going to happen. It will happen. Let's put it there.
It will happen. Dream believe achieve. Smile into the top, right?
Let's put it. Let's create it now. Absolutely. For the listeners, what is the difference between being an independent and between being assigned to a label?
That's a very good question. I found there's pluses and minuses to both sides. So, for example, I kind of found when I was signed, things seemed to be very slow. I mean, the reason for that, I guess, because I'm not sure if people know, but you have different sorts of, you know, deals. You know, not everyone gets a record deal like Eminem and then blows up overnight, or the likes of Justin Bieber and, you know, all these sorts of people.
Yep.
Those kinds of stories come from. So I kind of feel that when I first signed to the label, I felt it was very slow. And I kind of, now that I'm more experienced, I understand that it was because they were building me as a brand. And that's the second thing that I'll get into in a second. But it was also great to be signed to the label, not because of obviously, you know, you get, you know, some money or an advance, which has its pluses and minuses. But also it was very much, there was a lot of pressure. Because you do have deadlines. Obviously, as a record label, they've got deadlines because they're expecting you to produce. Maybe it is an EP deal, it might be an album deal, etc. But they've got people that are watching them as well. So, you know, they can pass the pressure down on you. You could be in a studio and they might say, all right, you've got 6 hours studio time today. But then the engineer might be there and he might be late, for example, or the producer might not be able to turn up till 3 hours before your session's been through. So then you're trying to rush things. So then the deadlines are back. And also it's the idea of obviously they set things up, i.e. radio interviews, i.e. you know, music videos and et cetera, which is great. But on the flip side, there again is a lot of pressure because you're constantly having to keep yourself, not only just yourself, fit and, you know, in a mental state, because you might have been performing the night before in London, and then you're traveling all the way down to Birmingham, which I've literally done. So with regards to obviously being independent or signed, there are pluses and minuses. I mean, the plus of being independent is very much that you create your own rules, and you make your own sort of luck, you know, whether that be you can sort of reach out to people that you want to collaborate with, you know, you can apply to the show that you want to apply for. But again, being independent, you might not get the opportunity to work with these people that you want to, because they don't, you know, if you're not affiliated with anyone in the industry, or, you know, and they might charge a fee, which is very relevant as well. And so you've got to come up with that money somehow, you know. I spoke to someone, I'm not going to say the name, but a friend of mine who's quite well known in London for his music. He signed to a major, major platform. He's been everywhere, done everything. So to collaborate with him as a friend in the industry, he was saying it's going to cost me £5,000 to get that collab. It's like, damn, you know. But whereas if I was with a record label, for example, they might have the, you know, the connects to basically co-sign the track and then, you know, make things happen, sort of thing. So there's pluses and minuses to all of it.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's a business, isn't it? At the end of the day, money is what people are out to make. And there's a lot of it to make, but there's a lot of it to lose as well, you know. So there's very big risks, one being independent, but there also is, you know, if you're signed to a label as well, because, you know, you get some record labels that give you a deal and a lot of the time, you know, you have these advances, but you have to keep the money back somehow. You know, this is what people don't understand. You don't just get given money.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think of it as almost like a mortgage. You know, if you buy a house, you get a mortgage from the bank. If you lose your job because you're acting like a prat and not turning up to work or doing the wrong things, you get fired. You can't afford the house anymore, you know. And this is what happened. You know, you get shelved, all these different things. So there's pluses and minuses to both.
From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, music production.
Yeah.
Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
Yeah, so my idea of creating a track, I have different ideas when it comes to that, to be honest. I mean, I could go through 3-4 months of just writing every single day, and anyone that knows me will vouch for that. I can write tracks, you know, drop of a hat. I've done it when I was at East Coast Studios with some very big, very, very big industry professionals in front of me. I didn't feel the nerves, not a problem. But then there could be other times where I can't put a sentence together that make, you know, is track worthy, to be honest. I kind of take my environment at the time and use that as my means of inspiration for the song. And I also like to start with a track as well. So producers, thankfully, you know, I get sent instrumentals from some great people. And I'm able to use them. So I kind of, it has to hit me, you know, when I'm hearing instrumentals. And if I've got a vibe, I'm like, yo, okay, cool, this is it. This is the one. But then saying that, it's also who I'm with as well. You know, if I'm in a circle of people that aren't, this might sound stuck up, but if they're not on the same sort of work rate, you know, as me, or they're not giving back what I, you know, sort of give, you know, out to the creative.
Mm.
It's hard because you feel like you're just carrying people, especially when you're in a studio. And if the producer isn't excited, I'm like, well, why are you even trying to lace this track and then put someone on it if you ain't that excited about it yourself? You know, I need some, you know, I like to work and bounce off the situation. And, and whether that's me writing on my own, the situation, whether it's good or bad, you know, I try to use parts of all of the motions to create the music, you know. And it can, again, be very slow, because when you're working with people, if they're not, say, work rate a lot, if they're not on the same work rate as myself, I get frustrated as hell, because, you know, people will say to you, yeah, let's work, let's do this, we can do that. So I literally plan myself, right, I'm going to be up in my studio, I've got a studio at home, I'm going to be up in the studio, my kids, right, they know daddy's working, you know, to earn some money and all the rest of it. But then if I'm not getting that track back when, you know, the guy's saying to me, oh, I can have this mix mastered in the next sort of week or 2 weeks. I'm thinking to myself, right, 2 weeks. If it ain't 2 weeks, what's the point of not working? You know, I'm not going to be blowing your phone up every 5 minutes. I don't care about you right now. Do you know what I mean? Because this is my journey.
Yeah.
And you're either on it or you're not. You know, you can either stand to the side and watch me go forwards, or we can just jump in the car and move forwards together. Because you know, we've got some big, you know. So yeah, my creative thing is very, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do and how I do it, and and who I do it with, to be honest, because I've got a lot to protect these days, same as everybody else, you know. You only got to get with one bad person, it makes it look silly, as you know. You know, you've got a great podcast and you don't want to be interviewing people that are going to bring your name down.
We referenced NLP earlier, so I'm not sure if you're aware. NLP is called neuro-linguistic programming. That's the way people process information. Dominant, secondary, and tertiary. Dominant means you'll be in it most of the day. Secondary means in it you'll be a couple of hours. Tertiary means you'll be in it about half an hour. They are visual interpretations, so people who are visual create pictures out of what they're receiving information. Auditory is audio, so that means they hear the words, they understand the words, they understand the sentences. It's all about the words in the conversation. Kinesthetic, that word again called kinesthetic. Now, that is the energy, the body language, the tone of voice, the emotions. Now, focusing specific on music, I mean, obviously, in the areas of your life will be maybe different. When you hear music of by yourselves or of your own music or of other artists, do you create pictures of what you're hearing, or do you hear the words, or is it about the emotion feeling?
I kind of feel that when I'm listening to other artists, it's about the words, I guess, because that creates like an emotion for me. And it creates my own sort of visual, I suppose, story, because I know that artist that I'm listening to that's obviously touched me in some way emotionally, you know, they've written that about a completely different story that they've experienced or et cetera. And I mean, with my own music, I kind of feel that it's very much visual. So I'm always thinking of, you know, the story with the viewer, obviously, okay, how would this work as a music video, for example?
Okay.
Or how do I see, like, people that enjoy my music, how do I see them reacting to it, you know? So for myself, again, it's very much visual. But when it comes down to other artists, I very much listen to the words. It's art. It's like looking at a picture, isn't it, in the Tate Gallery. Everyone sees that picture different, no matter what. There's one picture, but it's seen in 3 million different ways. You know, and obviously with the words of other artists, you know, it is very much, you know, I kind of listen to it in my own way, same as you would with music. You know, you'll hear a love song, for example, but you'll hear it in a completely different way than somebody else's, because you might have been for a breakup, but then your mate that's listening to it right next to you might have just met a new girl on down the pub and he's all loved up. So he's hearing different words and creating a different sort of visual to, again, what the artist has tried to create. So it's the same as a picture. You know, there's one picture in front of you. There's that one song that you're listening to. But it's listened to in 3 million different ways, and that picture is seen in, you know, 3 million different ways as well. So that's how I kind of feel about that question, if I'm honest. That's the best way I could.
Well, I mean,
like we spoke
earlier about your name, Tears, my interpretation and the other person's interpretation. When you listen to music by other artists, are you able to relax, chill, and just listen mellowed out, as in that space, or are you unpacking it through your creative and technical brain?
I guess a bit of both, to be honest. I respect everyone that creates music, because I know the process and, you know, the hardship that you have to go through sometimes to just get to one certain level, let alone, you know, the idea of, for example, like Jeff Rocher, you know, a fantastic level, Sophia Baxter, and all the greats that you've obviously already worked with on your great podcast. You know, so I always give it the same respect at that level as I would to a person that is maybe just starting and doing spoken word, for example, you know. So yeah, I kind of listen to all of it, and like I say, give it all the same respect, just because out of respect of I know what the craft is, and the hard work and honesty as well, you know, because it can be very hard to write a song sometimes, and I've had other artists say this same thing as well, because you're not only letting off that possibly baggage, but you're being brave enough to let people know, I've been through this, I'm going through this, you know, and that can be sometimes some of the hardest, well, the best music in the world, but also the hardest to write, you know, because it's your honesty about life, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, we're not as humans brave enough to express how we really feel. So yeah, I give respect and I listen to everything. I kind of just zone out for most stuff, and again, just interpret it into my own sort of little idea, you know?
It's interesting you say that because I like speak to a lot of people who sort of enjoy music on the periphery. They like their favorite artists. It's not, maybe they're not so passionate. Like they like it, you know, they'll have it, their playlists, they'll get this, maybe one or thing or the other, maybe go to one or two concerts. And oftentimes they don't even know what most of the songs are about. They don't hear the words. They don't even listen to the words. Maybe they're not audio people to hear what the words are. But often I'll say to a person, a Sia's song, Chandelier. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, she was an alcoholic and that whole song is about her being sober. And that whole thing is one, two, three, drink, one, two, three, drink. And I tell them, they will think, oh, this is a, it's just like sort of a fun song to listen to, but it's not necessarily deep. And it's a very deep emotional song. And most people don't realize that. Yes, there's a certain percentage of the world that do interpret and understand and get their perceptions. But there's also millions of others that just hear it and think, oh, this is a fabulous song type of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing. I mean, going back to obviously what we were saying about earlier on, like, you know, you kind of create your own idea of the song, don't you? I mean, that's relevant with even like Ray. You know, she has or had addiction problems. And, you know, and that's about doing all those. But again, going back to what you're saying is now, obviously you speak to someone, they're like, that's just an absolute banger. Like, and they don't know it's about a real bad time, life, you know?
Exactly.
But yeah. And obviously that's what I was saying earlier on. It can be, you know, that's why I respect, what artists do, because you're letting people know about these bad times, which can be embarrassing, I guess. You know, and make you feel like low about what people might perceive you as if they, you know, but they've turned it into a banger. So, you know, and everyone hears it different, you know, you understand the song different to somebody else. And yeah, it's good. It's a way to get rid of bad stuff, isn't it? Music. It's good stuff.
So what's next on the horizon? What are the next short-term elements or things are you allowed to give us input into, or the sense? I know a lot of things are top secret, but in the world. So what's happening coming up next?
Yeah, so I mean, I've got a few shows being booked. I'm planning to be able to travel out of the country very soon to perform. I'm working on a track with Jethro Sheeran. Well, I've got a couple in the bag. So we're waiting for that to be released. Hopefully very soon we'll be able to get, you know, studio and do all the good stuff. I know he's very busy. I've been offered a recording contract with another record label. I can't go into the details at the moment because nothing's been. And yeah, so I'm going to be creating like an EP as well with a very good friend of mine. And, you know, we've got videos that are being planned, other interviews. The problem is, like, there's a lot going on. I mean, even with my filming, I'm in a couple of films and I've written a book that we're turning into a film as well. So there's lots going on, but it's very much, again, I'm having to wait on other people a lot of the time, you know, which sucks. to anyone that's obviously followed my journey to this point, you know, I do move very fast. I create a lot of music and I'm going to create a lot of moves for myself as well because I'm passionate. But yeah, there's loads going on. That's all I can say at the moment. All of it positive. I'm just having to wait.
So I think what the key is message here, and that besides all the other stuff we've been talking about, because I'm the same as you. I've got so many elements and it's like, I oftentimes, and I get the sense you are the same, that we 6 months ahead of the rest of the world and it takes 6 months for the world to catch up to us. So it just, that whole thing about patience, the more we avoid it, the more it will keep hitting us in the face.
literally. Yeah. Well, it's like a stumbling block, isn't it? I mean, I'm not the greatest with patience, and it's crazy because obviously I've chosen to be in, you know, a fast paced industry and it's still too slow for me at times, which is fine, you know, because everyone's got life. Everyone's got real life to do. I get that. It's just frustrating because when you've worked so hard, as you know, with the success of your podcast, when you've worked so hard on something, and you're creating opportunities not only for yourself but other people that are part of your journey, you're kind of like, why aren't we just doing this now? Why are we talking about this?
No.
Why are we just sitting here talking when we've got a recording studio at mine, we've got one at yours, you know, we've got a camera, we've got X, Y, and Z people around us, we've got bloody celebrities around me, for God's sake. Why are we sitting here still talking? You know,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden, it will literally just be coming out of complete. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine, Jamie from Lockstockers, who's Moping Sounds. That's my team. And he was just saying, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, there's this that's in the pipeline. We've got that in the pipeline, this and that. And I'm like, this has just come out. And that seems like it just comes out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, bang, there you go again. You're off, which is great. It's exciting. But yeah, it is very much, I'm just having to wait for other people.
So you said movie, are you acting as well?
Yeah, so I've been in a couple of films sort of last year, towards the end of last year, just like small feature, I guess. And then I appeared on Channel 4 in December in England. I've worked on a show for the BBC, which is due to be aired this year as well. So I wrote a book that was fortunate enough to get two publishing deal offers. And I ended up going independent because they wanted to change the language. The language, basically, is all full of spelling mistakes and grammar. But the reason for it is the book's on written about my own experience with mental health, anxiety, panic attacks, and etc. The book very much started off as a diary. So when things were actually happening to me, like the ambulance is on its way, or I'm in hospital, you know, all this sort of horrible stuff that was going on, I was writing, because the whole idea of it was basically to say to other people that are reading the book, like, when I say this is happening to me, it is actually happening to me at this time. So now you're going through this moment, you know that you feel, hopefully you don't feel like you're alone, sort of thing. So because I know when I'm anxious and et cetera, it can feel like you're on your own. So I kept all the grammar in there, all the spelling mistakes. So I was like, no, this is my book. So, you know, if you want this, like to the publishing people, it has to stay the same. So I self-published. The book then got into the hands of someone at Channel 4. And they were like, would you be interested in making it into like a small series? You know, like a late night sort of maybe 4 or 5 part job. Yeah, that sounds great. But to do that, I'd need to have a pilot. So this is about 3, 4 years ago this happened. Mm. So I had to have a pilot. And I didn't realize how expensive filming was. But well, so I couldn't afford it. So fast forwarding on from that, I was fortunate enough to hook up with a couple of guys in the filming industry and, you know, shot a couple of short films, et cetera, that I featured in, you know, done all right. And then I created sort of a small network of people in the industry. I got to know them, they got to know me, and obviously, et cetera. So now we're collaborating on creating it into a film. Where it goes at this moment, I have no idea. But as long as I can get it onto the internet, maybe YouTube, for example, when just one person sees it and it helps that one person, that's fine with me. Do you know what I mean? But obviously, I dream big, so I want it to go all the way, and you know, Netflix and all this. And it's definitely achievable. I've got the good people around me. But again, it just comes down to one, having to wait for other people because they've got work rates and work life and et cetera. And also, it's money. The end of the day, these things aren't free. So I've just got to get a couple little bits, but everything's in motion. It's all very positive, and whether it happens today or it happens in 10 years, you know, as long as it helps maybe just one person. But yeah, the Facebook is up to 6,500 followers, I think it is now.
Oh, cool.
For the page Tears Behind the Smile. So yeah, it's all organic, and it's done all right. You know, the book sold, or is selling. So hopefully the film will be all right as well. You know, hopefully we can just get that record deal, get on to the films, and then you know we can get out to South Africa and have the film release, and you know,
no, remember, not hopefully, it will happen.
Definitely, it will happen. It will happen. Yeah, yes. That's right.
I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 days, 2 years, I know your answer will be different every time. Not favorites, but top of mind. Your 5 songs by other artists that you'd push play to now.
Oh, jeez. To be honest, oh, mate, you've really put me on the spot.
Or just artists, 5 artists.
Okay, so Ray, I really like Ray. I mean, I know it's going to sound, you know, oh, yeah, typical, but I love Eminem. I love his style. I love his flow. I love G-Eazy. Jesus. Ed Sheeran, I like quite a lot of his early stuff, to be honest. Kane Brown, I love Kane Brown. Teddy Swims, absolutely fantastic artist, and one that I feel deserves a lot more respect than he's got. Levine, love Adam.
Adam Levine.
Oh, okay, we're good?
Yeah, we're good. You were going on 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so Tears, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I'd just like to say, you know, everyone just keep pushing, no matter what. If you want to do something, whether it be you want to be a chef or you want to be the president, I'm a great believer in the only time you can ever fail is if you never try in the first place. Because at least if you try, you know, you've given it everything and you failed, at least you can sit there and you can say, right, okay, cool. Because what I find is the ones that give me the advice have never done half the stuff that I've done, or they try to give me advice. I've never, ever done it. But yes, I'd say to go for it, dream the league achieve, and just try. Just try, even just 1 minute, you know, put your hand to something new, experience something and do something that scares you as well. I feel like, you know, you have to get out of your comfort zone of anything. You have to do something that scares you. And if that's to try to live your ambition, go for it. Because that's what I've just done.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.